Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Jeff Byers. Today's show is brought to you by F45 Training and State College. After the great response to our F45 promotion, they've extended that offer through May 21st. Our listeners are able to try F45 training for 2 weeks free, and your 2 weeks begin with your first class. This, again, it's through May 21st. F45 provides you the benefits of personal training in a class environment. Now with the students gone, it's a great opportunity to check them out. You know what, Jeff? Last week, Landon and I went into the gym. We had a little workout. Just the next time you see Landon, just remind him how much I schooled him in the gym working out.
I have no doubt about that, Jim. And I can see just, we're able to see each other when we do these recordings. And obviously, you are looking exceptionally buff with this week's recording. So clearly, it was good work put in at the gym.
I think the expression you're looking for is cut, Jeff. I'm cut.
I was thinking more ripped, but yeah, cut work.
You know what? And some people claim, you know, we did the race with the sleds over at F45. They have some great stuff to work out. And some people claim that he had more weight on his sled than I had on mine. I'm not even going to answer that question because I shouldn't have to, Jeff. I should not have to.
I had dogs on my sled. That's why my sled won't be fast.
Okay. Let's move on, Jeff. I move on from my prowess in the gym. Let's move on to some Penn State football discussion. First of all, to start today's show out, Jeff, I think it's pretty safe for me, I think, to classify you as the optimist among our guests on our co-hosts on our show. Would you go along with that?
I think that's a fair characterization. I will happily accept the optimist role.
Okay, fair enough. We all agree on that. Today, my goal is to test that optimism of yours. What do you think?
You can try, but I have Penn State going 20-0 and winning the Super Bowl. So,
not just the college playoffs. They're going to win the Super Bowl also. All right.
That's right.
Let's see. I'm going to try to shake that optimism of yours, Jeff, and here's how I'm going to do it. I'm going to check out the areas of concern that I have, that I know a lot of our listeners and Penn State fans have expressed as areas of concern, and I'm going to see if I could shake that enthusiasm of yours, okay?
Sounds good. Let's do it.
All right. Let's start. I'm going to just start and give you the knockout punch right away, Jeff. All right?
All right.
Let's start at wide receiver, okay? I think we could all agree they were not all that good last year. In fact, they weren't good at all. They lost their leading receiver. They lost whatever depth they had. At least, you know, they had a quantity of receivers that you said to yourself, hey, maybe somebody among this group will step up. They lost a lot of that depth. And the only player that they came in through the portal is a guy who's had injury concerns through his career and really did not make a big dent in his career at Ohio State, and that's Julian Fleming. How could you be optimistic about that group?
So the good news is both Julian Fleming and Trey Wallace got their injuries out of the way earlier in their career, so they're both due for fully healthy seasons where they will contribute from day one right through to the national championship game when one of them undoubtedly will catch the winning touchdown pass that gives James Franklin his first of what is unquestionably going to be many national championships. So the injuries are out of the way. Those two will provide terrific leadership. And then there are some questions. I will grant you. I think Caden Saunders has a chance to be a playmaker and somebody who can make the clutch catches when you need them. You know, Liam Clifford is another guy that I just think is worth keeping an eye on with the type of offense that they are going to run here under Andy Kotelnicki. I think Clifford may not be a game-breaking type of wide receiver, but I think even last year, you know, when he was throwing the ball, he has good hands. He made the catch. And I think, you know, this offense, I think, is going to be designed to take advantage of those 7 to 10 yard gains when they're available. And yes, occasionally try to break the big one. I will concur that wide receiver was and remains the biggest concern on this football team for me. And, you know, I'll go a step further, Jim. I have questions about the coaching here at wide receiver. I really do. You know, I'm not calling for a change. I'm not putting all of the blame there. But, you know, ultimately, you've got to recruit and develop the talent. And I'm not convinced that either of those things are happening at a high enough level. Again, and we're talking about for Penn State to be competing for Big Ten and national titles. It's not that I think this receiving corps is devoid of talent. It's not that I don't think they can be productive, certainly more productive than they were a year ago. But when you look at the other elite offenses in the country, this receiving core does not stack up, certainly at least going into the season. Now, I suppose they could be a pleasant surprise, and certainly as the optimist, that is what I am expecting, that they will shock the world and be one of the great groups. But I think that, you know, they have got to get production, much better production than they got a year ago. And for me, Jim, that really starts with two things: getting off the line of scrimmage and getting a little separation. And again, that can be done schematically as well as with the play of your wide receiver. So through that combination, they just have to be better in that regard. And then you have to make the routine catches routinely. And that is one thing that I think they did not do last year is there were just too many gimmies that were not gimmies that they dropped, that they did not make the play on. And then, yeah, you've got to make, you know, I'm not saying you have to go out and catch every ball that's anywhere near you, but you've got to help this offense out and make some occasionally spectacular catches. Again, if you're hoping to be an elite football team, and, you know, whether or not this group can do that certainly remains to be seen here in the upcoming season.
One of the areas it was talked about so much last season was the lack of the big plays. Do you think someone like an Omari Evans could be part of the solution there? You know, we've seen him make some of those deep catches, deep balls, beat people deep. We certainly didn't see it on a consistent basis.
No. And and so the answer to that is, you know, I hope so, but truthfully, I don't know. And, you know, I guess what I'm, in all seriousness, the optimistic side of me is hoping that what has happened is they are using the trials and tribulations of a year ago to both motivate and to learn from, and that they will build on those experiences from a year ago and, again, truly take to heart, hey, we have got to be better. We've got to be more consistent. We've got to figure out ways to put pressure on opposing defenses, and we've got to figure out ways to do a better job of helping out our quarterback. And, you know, I do think Julian Fleming helps, if nothing else, in regards to the leadership and the maturity component for the offense. Now, you can be as mature and as great of a leader as there is. And, you know, at some point you still have to have the big time talent and go make some big time plays. So I'm not saying that Fleming with, you know, his team first mentality and again, just kind of the competitiveness he brings in and of itself, you know, gets Penn State to elite status. But the hope is that, you know, again, with the experiences of a year ago and with a guy like Julian Fleming now kind of heading up that group, that, you know, you do get more consistent play and you get guys maybe understanding how important it is that they step into their roles and fill them. And again, to me, it just comes down to being consistently good. I think we've seen some flashes from most of these guys here or there, but that is not good enough for where this program wants to be.
Jeff, I also think part of this is I'm not sure that wide receiver room was good enough on the practice field. And by that, I don't mean a lack of talent, but, you know, was there that same work ethic? You can't play big time college football without a level of commitment. And I'm going there partially some things that I've heard also, but you see it on the field. Yeah. Receivers not running the right route. And our colleague, Landon Tengwall, he talked about Julian Fleming and his level of seriousness in the workout comes from that Ohio State methodology where it's NFL-like. It's a business. Yeah. And that kind of focus for every workout. And I just get that feeling that that was lacking previously.
I get the same feeling, and I do think – again, that attitude that Fleming brings is, I guess, what I'm banking on to at least help this group turn the corner. That, and I do think Kotelnicki's schemes will help. But again, these guys have to go out and also take that next step individually.
Very good, Jeff. That is it on wide receivers, but I got a whole lot more in testing your optimism. We'll get back to that in quarter number two.
We've had such a great response to our F45 Training and State College promotion over the last couple weeks. They've agreed to extend it one more time for our listeners. Now that the students are gone, you have an incredible opportunity to take advantage of their functional fitness classes. This is still running through May 21st. For all Keystone Sports Network listeners, you're able to try out F45 Training in State College for 2 weeks free. F45 State College provides you the benefits of one-on-one personal training in a group class environment. F45 State College is the only fitness studio in State College with body composition technology where you can track your real-time progress, leveraging science-backed data to reach your goals even faster. Your free 2 weeks begins the first class you attend. Just make sure you begin before May 21st to take advantage of this limited offer.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number two. I'm Jim Galante. He is Jeff Byers. Jeff is the most optimistic Penn State guy that I think I know. It's great. He's a glass half full kind of guy. I vowed I would test him today. I would test that optimism. Jeff, I am going to empty your glass out before this day is done. That is my goal. So are you ready to continue?
I am ready, but I will point out we just got the kegerator refilled. So even if that glass is emptied, I'm going to fill it right back up, Galani. You can't stop me.
The unstoppable Jeff Byers with his optimism. All right, Jeff. I'm not sure you convinced me on the wide receivers in quarter number one, but let's move on from there. I think another area, we were pleasantly surprised the last year or two with the offensive line. We were so used to pointing fingers at the offensive line that there were issues there. the last 2 years, you know, Coach Troutwine, I think he's done the job. Feels like he's turned the corner. But, the but for this year, Jeff, is they had an All-American left tackle drafted very highly in the first round. We knew that was going to be the case with Olu Fashanu. I think at right tackle, Caden Wallace was much better than we thought was going to be the case. And we had a center who ended up being drafted also, Jeff. So there's five offensive line positions. I think I just named the three most important ones. All of those players are gone. And the two tackles, the two guys we thought would be the starting tackles coming into the season, they were both nicked up in the spring. Not sure they got the reps that we were looking for, Jeff. I think I'm concerned about the offensive line.
Yeah, I think I am too, but I am optimistic that as the season progresses, that group will be at the very least good enough. And I actually think it has a chance to be a very good unit. Now, I don't think they have anybody, certainly at this stage or, you know, in the upcoming season that is going to be equal to Olu Fashanu in terms of dominance and consistency. But a couple of things that I do like about the offensive line. Well, three things really that I'll name. One is I do like the veteran experience they have. Now, in a couple of spots, it's not starting experience, but I do think this is a group that comes in having a pretty good handle and understanding of what it takes to compete at this level. Now, I think it's going to take a while for them to figure out exactly what they need to do and how to work together. Part of my optimism with this group will also go back to Andy Kotelnicki. I am banking a lot of my optimism on what Andy Kotelnicki is going to bring in terms of schemes to this offensive system to help his players out. But I also like the depth on this offensive line. And while I think that the overall top flight talent slash experience may not be there, I do think they have more guys that are ready to contribute in a big way in the upcoming season. And, you know, obviously the hope is that, one, they stay healthy and that they do develop kind of that cohesion and take the next step. Just like we were talking about with the wide receivers, you know, they've got to take some personal responsibility. I think these guys, again, they need to be a little stronger, need to be a little better than they were a year ago. I don't think they all need to be stepping in and being the next Olu, but they've got to be good. And, you know, the other thing I do like on this group and a guy like Nick Dawkins is the leadership component. And I think, you know, getting a guy like Nolan Rucci in is, I think, not insignificant. I think that helps both in terms of depth and that leadership component. But, yeah, I mean, if you're going to pin me down and say, hey, on a scale of 1 to 10, how sure are you that this offensive line is going to be a strength on this team? I'm probably at about a 6, maybe a 7 on that scale right now. I do think they'll develop into a good group, but, you know, is it going to be good enough when you look at what they're going to face in the Big Ten? You know, I think by midseason they could be, but I'm certainly not sitting here telling you definitively, yes, no concerns, this group will be great. But I think they go, I'm just thinking here, I think too deep at each of the five positions you feel good about. Again, not Olu good about any one individual, but I think as a group, this line has a chance to be pretty good. And they also have some versatility within, I mean, they have a number of guys that I think in a pinch could certainly play two, three different positions there along the line. And so I think, again, that depth, you hope it doesn't come into play in terms of, hey, we have to have some guys step up now. But having some guys that maybe can step in and if somebody is having just a tough day matchup-wise, maybe you go to plan B and just see, hey, maybe this particular day against this particular opponent, this guy can match up a little better. So I agree it's a concern. I don't think it's panic mode with this group, and I don't think it's quite as big of a concern for me, at least, as the receiving core, but it's a concern.
I am chipping away at that glass. I am chipping away. I think I'm seeing a bit of a leak in that glass, Jeff. I think I am. But I'll tell you, one of the things that I do feel good about this offensive line is the depth. I don't think there's that same obvious high-end quality, not just with Olu, but also Caden Wallace, who I thought played very well last season. But you have many more shots at it this year. There is a lot of experience at the guard positions. We know those folks are, returning from last year. Sal Warmly, Vega Ioane, J.B. Nelson. You feel good about that veteran presence. I do feel pretty good about Nick Dawkins really taking the step up and being ready to be the center. At the tackles, that's where some of my concern is, but I do feel better that not only is there Drew Shelton, who's the presumptive starter at left tackle, and Anthony Donka at right tackle, but Nolan Rucci actually gives you that third guy that if things don't work out or they get nicked up at left tackle, right tackle, there's a guy that you could feel will at least be adequate and won't be schooled, if he's forced to play. So I wouldn't call it optimism, but I'm not dreading it, Jeff.
Well, and I do think there's, part of it is you're looking, with an eye toward the future. And I do think with Donka and, Javon Williams and Cooper Cousins, again, I'm very high on Nick Dawkins, but I think Cousins is going to make a real push here for Dawkins to hang on to that starting job. And again, I think that's all good stuff. You have three, very young linemen here that I think are going to make their presence felt here along the offensive line as the season progresses. And so, but again, there's a learning curve for sure there. And so I'm not expecting that this group is going to come out and dominate from the get-go, but I do think it has a real chance to be, a very solid part of this team. I think some of the things they are going to do schematically are going to help these guys out. I think with the running game, it's not going to be that you have to go dominate and destroy your opponent. Obviously great if that happens, but I think with this running back core and with the schemes they'll have, it's going to be, man, you need to get your guy turned just a bit. You need to open up just a bit of a hole with the run game. And then again, I think with the pass game, I think you're going to have a lot of quick hitting passes. So these guys have to do the job. I'm not saying that you don't need a good offensive line, but I don't know that they need to be a dominant force for this offense to be effective.
I think another part of the confidence level should come from the coaching at offensive line, where we did see the players improve over the last couple of years to reach that level. Caden Wallace, a few years ago, we were very concerned about him, and he very quietly turned the corner and became a much better player. And I think we've seen enough of that and enough the pedigree of the recruits from the last couple of years that there are possibilities. You mentioned Cooper Cousins. Now, he's just an incoming freshman, and he's already performing at a level that is impressing everybody he's only going to get better. So there is a plan B. I believe they definitely want Nick Dawkins to be the guy at center. They definitely want that. The experienced guy, the veteran. However, it's not Nick Dawkins or bust now. You have this young guy who offers you some promise in case something would happen to Nick Dawkins getting nicked up. And you also have promise beyond the 24 season, Jeff.
For sure. And I don't think that's insignificant because, ideally, Nick Dawkins stays healthy. Cousins maybe gets in the five games, in the ideal world. And then, learns from, again, just a veteran guy who's been through it here in Nick Dawkins. And then that helps Cousins take that next step the following season.
All right, Jeff, that's going to be it for quarter number two. When we come back, you seem awfully confident about this new offensive coordinator. I'm going to test you to see if that is warranted, Jeff. We're going to do that right after this break.
We've had such a great response to our F45 Training and State College promotion over the last couple weeks. They've agreed to extend it one more time for our listeners. Now that the students are gone, you have an incredible opportunity to take advantage of their functional fitness classes. This is still running through May 21st. For all Keystone Sports Network listeners, you're able to try out F45 training in State College for 2 weeks free. F45 State College provides you the benefits of one-on-one personal training in a group class environment. F45 State College is the only fitness studio in State College with body composition technology where you can track your real-time progress, leveraging science-backed data to reach your goals even faster. Your free 2 weeks begins the first class you attend. Just make sure you begin before May 21st to take advantage of this limited offer.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. He's Jeff. I'm Jim. We all know Jeff is the king of optimism with this Penn State football team. And heck, all of Penn State sports, he's the optimistic guy. I'm trying to shoot holes in that optimism going through the areas of this Penn State team that, at least for me, and I think a lot of the fans, Jeff, and our listeners, they are areas of concern. Now, in the first two segments, we talked about, I think, two of the biggest areas, wide receiver and offensive line, as areas of concern. And even you, Mr. Optimist, conceded that there's at least some concerns there, right, Jeff?
For sure.
However, you mentioned a couple different times some of those concerns were alleviated by the new offensive coordinator. So I'm looking at my notes here. Yes, new offensive coordinator, very highly regarded nationally, coming into play. Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. Those were my notes from 2 years ago in Mike Yurcich. I'm sorry. Let me get my more up-to-date notes. Again, coach, highly qualified, offensive coordinator. Oh, I'm sorry. Those were my notes from 3 years ago in Kirk Ciarca. Let me get see if I can find my current notes here, Jeff. Oh, yeah, here it is. Offensive coordinator, great national reputation, Andy Kotelnicki. He's going to fix what is wrong with the offense. Jeff, I've heard that story before.
Listen, when this is said and done, Joe Moorhead will be a distant second on the offensive coordinator's list under James Franklin, Jim. There's just no doubt about it. How's that for optimism? No, listen, I really do. And yes, I will be the first to concede I was really excited about the Yurcich hire as well. And I'm still, to be honest with you, scratching my head a little bit about this past season. I really don't understand what exactly happened there and why they didn't utilize the talent they had in a way that, again, to me, And admittedly, never coached football, but boy, it sure seemed like there were some things that just seem like you would naturally do and try to exploit the talents. And it just seemed to me that Yurcich never did. And I'll, I guess, probably go to my grave scratching my head over it, because I don't understand what happened and why it went off the rails to the degree that it did this past season. That being said, I think Kotelnicki's approach and his, you know, I mean, he's coming in saying that he wants to adapt to what it is Penn State has. And I think Penn State has plenty, despite the concerns at wide receiver and offensive line that we illuminated. I you know, obviously great running back core. I think a quarterback that, again, certainly numbers wise was impressive last year, certainly needs to take that next step as well in terms of big game clutch situations. And, you know, I just think the body language, if nothing else, has to be better in those games in the upcoming season for Drew Aller. But I just think Kotelnicki comes in with a proven record of knowing how to create an offensive system that will work and how to adapt. And again, he certainly did not have the talent at Kansas that he's going to have here in his first season at Penn State. And, you know, I'm just, part of my optimism there is just listening to the offensive players and their excitement and their optimism about what this offense is going to look like. And I also just think the overall communication, and I think James Franklin deserves a lot of credit for that, but Andy Kotelnicki and the other offensive coaches deserve a lot of credit too for, you know, at least if we are to believe what everybody is saying, and I do, they all feel, they're all on the same page, and they feel good about where they're at and where they're headed and what it is they're trying to accomplish. And I just don't know that that was really the case last year, maybe until the very end after Yurcich was dismissed from his duties. So I am very excited about Andy Kotelnicki, and yep, your point is well taken. And I was right there and saying the same thing with both Shiraka and certainly with Yurcich. But I was really, really impressed with what Kotelnicki did. It just feels like there's a different energy level too. You know, Kotelnicki feels to me more like a Manny Diaz, and I'm not ready to put him in that category in terms of being one of the top assistant coaches in the country, although I'm not ruling out that possibility either. But more just in how he relates to the players and kind of the enthusiasm that he brings, but I think more importantly brings out of his players. And I just think, you know, going back to the offensive line and the wide receiving core, I think if those guys are truly optimistic and they believe that, hey, yep, this is what we need to do and this will work if we just do our jobs and we're excited about doing that, I think that is a big deal. And I don't know that that really occurred last year, certainly with the receiving core. So we'll see.
That's what it always comes to. We'll see. But I was right there with you on the Mike Yurcich hire, and I'm not going to revisionist history. I was excited about him, Mike Yurcich, coming in. And I do think it was a good hire by James Franklin at the time. I think this guy's reputation and his accomplishments, I'm referring to Mike Yurcich, I think it was a good hire and the right hire at the time. Now, and I'm talking to all of those folks like myself who were in private industry, not in sports somewhere, where you, if you've ever been in a room and you interview people, sometimes you think you have an absolute home run hire. The resume is right. The interview is right. but then you just find out it's just not a good fit. And I think where we ended up a year ago with Mike Yurcich told us that, that it wasn't a good fit with the culture at Penn State for some reason. There was a personality issue. And I Jeff, keep circling back to the start of the year. Remember when Mike Yurcich went from downstairs to upstairs and we all just kind of dismissed it as, oh, well, that's just, you know, maybe he gets a better view from up there. I'm thinking they wanted him off the bench and away from the quarterback or the offense or the other coaches. There was some conflict there. I truly believe that. So I'm not where I think a lot of people would be critical of James Franklin. Look, he's, you know, another new offensive coordinator. I think this was no doubt the fact that he let a coach go before the season ended. He was correcting a mistake, whether you want to say it, put it on Yurcich or if you want to put it on James Franklin for the decision he made, but he didn't let the mistake keep going. He corrected it. And hopefully Andy Kotelnicki will be the right guy, but I don't think anyone will ever know until we go through it, Jeff. And I know that's like being a wishy-washy answer. Well, we'll find out, won't we? Well, yes, there's no other way to put it. But if you want to ask me to predict how it will go, I'm actually going to make my glass half full there also, Jeff. I think I'm an Andy Kotelnicki fan also. But yeah, staying on – go ahead.
Just real quick. I mean, you truly don't know, and you can make good hires, and I'm with you. I think the hire of Yurcich was a good one. It didn't work out. But, you know, when Nebraska hired Scott Frost, I'm like, man, what a home run hire. That is fantastic. You know he's going to be successful. And for whatever reason, it didn't work out. So sometimes I'm with you. I mean, sometimes everything aligns and it's like, well, this is a no-brainer. Obviously, this is going to work. And for whatever reason, it just doesn't. And, you know, that's life too. There's, you know, all kinds of situations. It's like, oh man, this is can hardly wait for this opportunity. Nothing can go wrong. And then you get into it and it's like, huh, well, for some reason, this did not go the way I thought it was going to. And, but this one, again, feels right going into it, but yep, it did feel right a couple of years ago as well.
And I'm glad you brought up Scott Frost. That, Jeff, that may have been the single most unanimously approved hire. Was there anybody at that time who said, nope, this isn't going to work?
If they did, I don't remember hearing it, that's for sure.
But yeah, that's just the example of how you hire. And I think you mentioned earlier about what's going on with the wide receiver coach. And, you know, I think they need some stability there, you know, the change after change. But where do you balance between, look, we're not happy with what's going on, but we also need to get, you know, stabilize the position for a couple years. What I will say, though, with the wide receiver position, I don't think we were all crazy with the performance of the offensive line with Troutwine's first year here coaching. It took a couple years. So I'm not going to judge the wide receiver coach yet, Jeff.
No, that's a fair point.
So hopefully, you know, the situation will work out. But I also do believe that there is a connection between, you know, the offensive coordinator and every position group on offense. OK, if the offensive coordinator does well, that will make the wide receiver coach look better than he has over the last couple of years. Just fingers crossed that that's going to be the case. We know we're happy with the offensive line coach. We're happy with the running backs coach. Very happy with the tight end coach there, Jeff. So there's a lot of pieces in place. We'll see if Andy Kotelnicki can put all those pieces together. That is it for quarter three. We still got more questions to go. We'll do that in quarter number four.
We've had such a great response to our F45 training and state college promotion over the last couple weeks. they've agreed to extend it one more time for our listeners. Now that the students are gone, you have an incredible opportunity to take advantage of their functional fitness classes. This is still running through May 21st. For all Keystone Sports Network listeners, you're able to try out F45 training in State College for 2 weeks free. F45 State College provides you the benefits of one-on-one personal training in a group class environment. F45 State College is the only fitness studio in State College with body composition technology where you can track your real-time progress, leveraging science-backed data to reach your goals even faster. Your free 2 weeks begins the first class you attend. Just make sure you begin before May 21st to take advantage of this limited offer.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. I'm Jim, he's Jeff. We've been talking about how optimistic Jeff always is. I'm trying to shake that optimism. How am I doing so far, Jeff?
I have them winning the Super Bowl, Jim. I don't see any way. I'm not saying the Chiefs couldn't put up a good battle against them, but.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's compare that Chiefs quarterback with this quarterback on this team. They both have a way of coming up big in the biggest games, Jeff. Oh, wait a minute. One of them hasn't been so good in those big games. And, Ohio State, Michigan's a national champion, okay? That's part of this, obviously. But, Jeff, last year we went into the season saying there's 10 games we think this team is going to win. They'll be the heavy favorites. And there were two games that we said we were worried about. And guess what? In those two games, not only did they lose them, but the quarterback, you could put in those stats for the whole season, the touchdown to interception ratio, completion percentage, all of those things. But yep. The fact is, he came up small in those big games. And here's my concern coming into this season. A year ago, there really were only two losable games, and they lost them both. This year, I could find, maybe four, five losable games. Now, I'm not saying those teams are like Michigan or Ohio State, because they're not. However, USC on the road, Wisconsin on the road, even West Virginia in that first game on the road, that game concerns me, Jeff. But my question is, we've had a quarterback not perform well in big games. He's going to have a lot more big games this season than he did a year ago.
Yeah, and the thing for me, Jim, so I'm with you on that. I do think Penn State, at least going into the season, is – probably, as we look at it right now, would be favored in all of those games. USC on the road might be close, but replacing Caleb Williams regardless, your point is well taken. I mean, there are a lot of games. The thing with that I think are more in play. The thing that I can't figure out with Aller from last year is he just looked so poised and confident in all of the other games. And he just looked scared, timid, fundamentally unsound in those two games. Like it was a body language. It was a nervousness. And again, I think part of it is, you give credit, they – obviously, Ohio State and Michigan did a better job of getting pressure on him. That certainly is part of the equation. But I don't know. It just felt like he changed up who he was in those games. And you know, does he only do that if you're a significant underdog? I mean, maybe we'll kind of find that out this year. Or is it just if there's, you know, a big game with high stakes? Because I'm with you. I think there are a bunch of those here this season. But it almost, I mean, yes, the performance has to be better. But I just think that the body language and the confidence, the poise, I mean, that part of it has to be better. Like, to me, Jim, and I don't know, it's maybe I'm making too much of it. I mean, I'm obviously not on the field. I'm not seeing what the other players are reacting. But, boy, it felt to me like if you were looking to Drew Aller as your leader last year, and, again, I'm not pinning those two losses. I want to be clear on that, too, that I don't think Drew Aller is the reason they lost either of those games. But what you want to see is a quarterback that, you know, if he has a bad series or he takes a sack, just bounces up, he's, no problem, guys. We got this. Let's go back. You know, we're good. And it felt like he was just almost deer in the headlights both times. And so I am wondering what we're going to see from Drew Aller in those situations. Again, I don't know if Kotelnicki's offense helps there. I don't know if just another year of experience helps. And, you know, worst case scenario, it could be that that is who Drew Aller is. And, you know, he just freezes up, for lack of a better term, when the lights get the brightest. And obviously, you're certainly hoping that's not the case. And I'm not predicting anything one way or the other. I think it's one of the things that I'm, I guess, most excited / anxious to see in terms of how this season develops is Drew Aller's growth and what we see from him, again, in those spots. And really, I mean, you might get some indication, I guess, in Morgantown, Jim, but I really don't think you're going to have a strong sense of it, or I'm not going to have great confidence anyway until at least that USC game. And again, we'll see how USC season unfolds and what Penn State looks like at that stage, but it might not even be until the Ohio State game that you're like, okay, this is now where we're at in terms of our confidence level in big games with our quarterback.
And I think part of it too, Jeff, with Drew Aller is not only that confidence level, but it gets shaken when things go wrong. There's if a receiver drops a pass or runs a wrong pattern. And I also think another part of this, and James Franklin talked about scheming easy passes for Drew Aller to get a rhythm going, get confidence going, have things that they could count on that we're confident against this team. We could get a first down if we need it by doing X, Y, Z. And they didn't do that. And I think that is partly why Mike Yurcich is no longer there. I think the other part that I'm optimistic about is in hearing some of Drew Aller's conversation since the season, I think there's at least a self-awareness that he lacked in those areas where, you know, I'm going to go back a couple of years where, you know, you see, I think it was even in the Iowa game where Sean Clifford was injured, but early in the game, he throws an interception. The defense holds up, only gives up a field goal, but it doesn't shake Sean Clifford at all. You know, he's still confident, bordering on cocky, but that's what you want from your quarterback. And I don't think we saw that with Drew Aller. And I think he's now aware of that, look, it's not going to happen for me. I'm going to have to be the guy who makes these things happen. And I'm hoping that with another year of experience and that self-awareness that we'll start to see it this year. Am I starting to be more optimistic than you, Jeff? Is that, or is it just your optimism wearing off on me?
You're feeling it, Jim. You're feeling it. Penn State over Georgia in the national title game. Here we go, big boy.
All right. Well, you know what? We've been talking so much about offense, which I think is where a lot of the concerns are. But if we go to the other side of the ball, Jeff, the one area, you know, the cornerbacks, again, lost all three cornerbacks. And what we saw when they weren't around against Ole Miss, it was pretty ugly, Jeff. Should I be concerned about the cornerback room?
I don't think so, but again, we'll see. but listen, I really like what we saw in the blue-white game. And yes, I understand, you know, I liked what I saw from Kenny Pickett in the preseason games last year too. So I get it, and I'm taking it with a grain of salt. But I really do think A.J. Harris is going to be a big-time corner. We've talked about Cam Miller plenty here, Jim, and I have a lot of confidence that he is going to be very, very good. I think they are, again, they may not be as good, kind of like the offensive line. They may not be as good as they were a year ago, but that was, you know, top level stuff a year ago. And I'm not sure, again, by the middle of the season that this unit won't be able to play itself into being, you know, at least comparable. Again, I'm not sure you're going to get quite the level of cornerback play you had a year ago, but I think they can be very good there. I think the depth is solid there. Maybe not quite as, my confidence level in the offensive line's depth is probably a little stronger than it is with the cornerbacks, but I think they're too deep on each side there and in pretty good shape. And so I am optimistic with that group, but I do think it would be prudent to be cautiously optimistic, and let's wait and see how it plays out. The one thing with Harris is, you know, he is a physical corner, which I like. It just, you got to see what the officials are calling on a given day, you know. But he reminds me, and I'm not saying he's going to be Joey Porter, but, I mean, he has that type of feel to him in terms of the way he plays the position.
Yeah, and that physical nature of him, which, if you remember with Joey Porter, resulted in some flags also. But with that said, you know, we all know how good Joey Porter was. I'm reasonably confident, and part of it, my confidence in the cornerbacks is how good the rest of the defense is. You know, the defensive line, all the tackles are back, and Abdul Carter, he could end up being very special, as can Deny Dennis Sutton. Really like the safeties, Jeff. The linebackers, I think there's reason to be optimistic there. So I'm not saying they have to cover for the cornerbacks, but I think it helps the cornerbacks with how good the rest of that defense is. All right, Jeff, I don't think I shook your confidence, but that is it for our show. Thank you all for listening. Join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
We've had such a great response to our F45 Training and State College promotion over the last couple weeks. They've agreed to extend it one more time for our listeners. Now that the students are gone, you have an incredible opportunity to take advantage of their functional fitness classes. This is still running through May 21st. For all Keystone Sports Network listeners, you're able to try out F45 Training in State College for 2 weeks free. F45 State College provides you the benefits of one-on-one personal training in a group class environment. F45 State College is the only fitness studio in State College with body composition technology where you can track your real-time progress, leveraging science-backed data to reach your goals even faster. Your free 2 weeks begins the first class you attend. Just make sure you begin before May 21st to take advantage of this limited offer.